97.5, The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6 on 97.5, The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. Tom Alvord is producing. Jen Scordo doing the updates and all of her stuff today. Phillies are on. Yes, I understand. But we'll be talking about last night's game in just a little while. But it brought up an interesting point. Now, we have a lot to get to today. We'll talk to Jason Stark at 4:30. It's Ask You Anything Wednesday. So we will have 10-second song. We did pretty well last week, but we can do better. This week, Jen Scordo, once per hour, could save you. So if you get the song wrong, once per hour, if at Jen's discretion, she can step in and save a person if she thinks the song is too hard, if she thinks that it's the wrong genre, if she thinks your call was really good and just wants you to win. Once per hour, Jen Scordo can have a save, and she could possibly get the song correct. But I don't know if she'll do that. We'll find out. 610-632-0975. But we start with the word of the day. And the word of the day is merit. Merit. And the reason it's merit is partially because of the Phillies game last night, but also something that a larger thing that happens in sports that's not supposed to happen in sports. And it also happens in life. And we're going to discuss it today, a larger particular thing, and it's top five week. We will get to the top five MLB players and the top five Phillies players in just a little while. Now, the reason I say merit is, you look at that Phillies bullpen, and it's now time, it's enough games to figure out who has it and who doesn't have it. Now, before this game, Rob Thompson didn't come out and say, Knebel out as closer. It'll now be closer by committee, which I don't agree with either, because there's already a guy who's earned it by merit in Sir Anthony, but too often in sports, we think it's all about merit. When they talk about, and this is either little league, high school, college, pro. Unfortunately, despite the fact that people think that sports are all about merit, and they should be, too often they're not. If you pay a reliever a lot of money, you're going to give them a chance to in a certain role, even if they haven't earned it, and a lesser guy won't get that shot. That's not merit. The fact that Jalen Reagor was still dressing for games after week 7 last year, that shows it's not based on merit. It was because he was a former first-round pick. Because if you look at the merit, he should have been deactivated and someone else should be able to get a shot. So we discuss here a lot sports myths. And this is another one. And here's another. JT Realmuto, should he be playing every day still? Based on merit. Should he be playing every day still? You saw he comes up short again, bases loaded situation. Then the next time he grounds into a double play, but at least the run scores. And then he drops a pop-up, and the next pitch, the guy, it leads to the Phillies losing the game directly. If it's based on merit, should he be playing every single day? We're going to talk about that today, because how many times in Little League have you played and you're looking around and forget if you think you're the best player? Because obviously you always think you're the best. But you see the coach's son get playing time that he doesn't deserve. Or you see somebody close with the coach getting a playing time that they don't deserve. If sports are truly about merit, why are there so many cases where they're not about merit at all? How many times do we have to hear about a guy going, well, he's the coach's guy. Well, why does the coach have guys? If it's based on merit, shouldn't it be about who's good and then who's bad should sit regardless of money, regardless of relationships, regardless of all the mess? It happens too much in a situation in which millions of dollars are spent. It's a multi-billion dollar business and buddies and friends and cronyism comes into play constantly. Look at the coaching situation in the NFL. Bill Belichick's son, you tell me he's just more qualified than a bunch of other coaches? Why is the one thing that's supposed to be somewhat pure somehow still not based on merit when it should be based on merit because it should be all about W's and L's? Now, before we get into our top five, Tom, I want to ask about JT, Romuto, and Familia. Why does he play at all? Why does he play at all? He's terrible. And I don't mean that as a terrible person. Like, he might be a great guy. I don't know him. I'm saying he's a terrible baseball player. Why does he still play? Because they paid him in the offseason. It's not based on merit, but I want to ask you about, he comes in the game and lights it on fire. Over. Can't find the strike zone. Why does he play in a situation that's supposed to be about merit? What the heck's going on, Tom? And JT, doesn't he need a day to sit down or a week to sit down? He's wretched right now.
Yeah, he's not earned his playing time right now. Neither him, JT Realmuto, or Jurys Familia have earned their playing time right now. And this was the first time we saw Rob Thompson not keeping it simple, yep. Overthinking, mm-hmm. and doing what Joe Girardi was doing. It's been working. Seventh inning, Brogdon. Eighth inning, either Dominguez or Hand, whoever you want to go to. Ninth inning, Knable. Now that's no longer in question. But up until last night, that was the routine. That's the recipe for success. Yep. He went away from it, and I have no idea why Familia's in that game. I don't know if they're trying to get him ready for a high-leverage situation. The dude's at a 4-5 ERA right now, and that was your second biggest offseason relief pitcher signing other than Corey Knable. Like, that's an issue right now, and I'm hoping that was the stick that broke the camel's back, as they say, because he does not deserve playing time right now.
He shouldn't be pitching at all if it's based on merit. And does it mean you give another guy who's working hard and giving an honest effort a shot? Yes. And that's what sports are supposed to be about. That's what they're supposed to be about. But instead, too often, far too often, it's about other stuff other than just merit. Jen, what happened? You're supposed to be the kind person and the nice person. Where the heck is the merit-based situation? Same with Rager. Why was he still playing football all year long?
It doesn't make any sense. You and I sat here and said, do not put he should not be allowed to put a jersey on. And for me, last night, once again with JT, it's so frustrating. I got more upset by him missing the ball, the pop-up.
You got to make that
catch. He was like, I need to make that catch. I've made that catch before. I get it. But come on. Yeah, it's frustrating.
This is supposed to be about merit and who earns it and who doesn't. And I try not to care about other people's money, meaning go get as much money as you can get. But that doesn't mean that means I don't care about the team's money either. I don't care how much you're paying him. Right now, he's a bad baseball player. Do I think he's forever a bad baseball player? Not necessarily, but I have some questions. But if all the times where guys have gotten punished for different things, dropping that pop-up is a lack of concentration. Guys get punished for lack of concentration all the time. I would sit him multiple days for that. Would a manager do that? I don't think so. Why aren't sports based on merit? 610-632-0975. We are continuing top five week here on 97.5 The Fanatic on the interim show here in the afternoon. Here is my MLB top five. Then I'll go to Tom Jens. I have my Phillies top five, and then we'll get all of yours. MLB top five. Now, just so we're clear, if you include players pre-Jackie Robinson, that is your choice. I'm not going to say you're wrong, so I understand that if that's what you do, that is what you do. Me personally, I cannot put a player in my MLB list who did not play against everybody. That's my list. So here is my top five based on the best players to play baseball who played against everybody. And there wasn't just a huge amount of people who weren't allowed in the league, so therefore you look great against lesser athletes. Here is my top five. Willie Mays, number one. Very easy. Hank Aaron, number two. Barry Bonds, number three. Yes, he took steroids, but a lot of people took steroids. He was the best of all of them by a lot. And if we didn't praise known Reuters, McGuire, and Sosa so much, as he's sitting there being an awesome baseball player, and the baseball writers who knew about the steroids wrote about the steroids in real time, maybe this is handled differently and his career is different. He's number three. Mickey Mantle, fourth. And number five, the pitcher who slayed everyone during the steroid era, Juan Pedro Martinez, is fifth on my list. So it's Mays, Aaron, Bonds, Mantle, Martinez in my top five. Tom, what is yours?
Top five for MLB.
Mm-hmm.
I have at five, Ted Williams. At four, Willie Mays. At three, Babe Ruth. Number two, Hank Aaron. And number one is Barry Bonds. To me, without question.
So you have Aaron ahead of Mays.
I do, yes.
That is very controversial there and wrong, but interesting. Bonds ahead of him, I can understand a little bit more. Center field defense, not a big important thing for you.
I'm a power guy, Ty. That's what it is. It's all about the power.
So
and listen, Willie Mays.
So why is it Aaron ahead of Bonds?
Well, because Bonds is just another worldly. He's an alien. The dude won seven MVPs.
Well, I'm saying, but with the A.
Strictly on power. I don't know. Is that...
All right. Listen, it's a fine list.
You don't like the Willie? I don't know.
I don't know how Willie Mays is at number one.
That's
right. But hey, it's your list. Jen Scordo, what is your top five?
All right. My top five starts at number five with Barry Bonds. Four, Mickey Mantle. Three, Willie Mays. Two, Hank Aaron. Number one, Babe Ruth.
So you also have Hank Aaron ahead of Willie Mays.
Yes.
Even though Willie Mays was a better player than Hank Aaron. That is interesting you guys have that on the list. No, it's fine.
I'm from Atlanta, so.
Yeah, you kind of, I guess, if that makes sense. That part does make sense. All right, Philly's list. My list is one, Mike Smith. Two, Steve Carlton. Three, Jimmy Rollins. Four, Robin Roberts. And five, because of his prime, one, Ryan Howard. That is my top five all-time Phillies. Yes, Chase Utley is not on there. I also value winning the MVP. He, unfortunately for him, did not. And also, I just thought he was kind of weird. Go ahead, what are your top five?
That's fair. Pretty similar to yours. Number five, I have Chase Utley. Number four, Ryan Howard. His peak years are something we may never see again.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Rollins, number three, all-time hit leader. Steve Carlton, number two, and the greatest Philly of all time, Mike Schmidt at number one.
Very fair. Jen?
All right, number five, Ryan Howard. Four, Jimmy Rollins. Three, Chase Utley. Two, Steve Carlton. And one, Mike Schmidt.
All right. 610-632-0975. Now, it is also Ask You Anything Wednesday. And with that in mind, we have more 10-second song. The prize today, a pair of tickets to see Def Leppard and Motley Crue at Citizens Bank Park, June 25th. Some tickets still remain at Ticketmaster.com, so you take advantage of that. So it's simple. You call in, you talk about merit, you talk about your top fives, you answer a 10-second song, and you can be on your way to see Def Leppard and Motley Crue at Citizens Bank Parker.
That's going to be a good show. My generation, that's going to be a great show.
I believe that show, I'm interested in the show. I think they're going to sell it out.
Yeah, they probably will.
That's probably fair. Yeah.
I think it'll sell out. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. What's the score of the Phillies game right now?
Nothing.
Still nothing with the Phillies. We'll keep you updated. We're on the TV side during the game. Then after the game, they're going to go to post game. Then they're going to come back. But the radio, we're always here on 97.5 Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So damn power. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6. 610-632-0975. So O'Clock Hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Line. Conklin, attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's counter locations at Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, where I grew up, or Westchester today. And now it's time to start our Twitter poll. And that's powered by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. You know it's mower time out there. Time to get out there before you crack open a cold one and manicure the lawn. Schedule more maintenance at poweredbymoyer.com. Jen, what do we have today?
Okay, today's Twitter poll. What Phillies player have you been most disappointed in this season? Your answers can be JT Realmuto, Corey Knebel, Familia, or Nick Castellanos. Right now, JT is winning by 53%.
Yeah, and it's him.
It's him.
He's the answer. Castellanos, I can understand having trouble adjusting. You're changing teams. It's a little bit different. JT is just, it's been just underwhelming consistently. And I brought it up a few weeks ago. People thought I was nuts. Oh, how dare you? Everybody's come along. Like, sometimes I'm a visionary. Sometimes I'm not. But sometimes I'm a visionary. I was ahead of the curve here on that. And it's just highest plate, best catcher in the game, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of routine plays behind the plate that he's not making because he's not crouching. And now another routine play, he's got to catch that ball. Now, I understand that inning where it all blew up yesterday. I know they're back playing today. Still 0-0. We'll give you updates. You can just stick with us. With that in mind, I can't be mad at Rhys Hoskins last night. I can't be. I can't be.
That dude tried to single-handedly win that game for
them
yesterday.
I mean, I'm not going to be mad at him after the game. You're going to make mistakes. Should he have gotten the ball? Of course. Of course. He should have dug that out. It wasn't that hard of a play. It hits the palm of the glove and bounces out. Bad play. But he was incredible. He's on one of those once-in-a-lifetime. He has these special roles where he's not a superstar, but he has these superstar stretches where he's just, it's incredible to watch. We saw it since his rookie year. He's had, except when Gabe was here, he's always had these stretches where it's like, oh my God, I'm not gonna be mad at him. What does JT do right now other, like, to make up for the mistakes that he's making?
Yeah, and notice how we're not talking about, or you don't see it as much on Twitter, phone calls, whatever it may be, Rhys Hoskins misplaying that inning because, like I said, he tried to single-handedly win you that game. The reason we're talking about JT's play is because he's been very poor so far this season, and he's hurt this team more than he's helped them, at least in the last couple games.
Right. And when you the money matters when you don't live up to the money. Like, Bryce Harper's contract's a bargain.
He's underpaid.
He is underpaid. Believe it or not. In this city, Joel Embiid, underpaid. Underpaid. Think about the fact that up until his latest contract, Tobias made more than Embiid. Like, that's where the max is, like, kind of funny. And just, I want to address what Thompson did with taking out Eflin. Here's the deal. In the new game, they have this up-down thing that they talk about. And Jason Stark will explain it later on in the show. But when you have a long half inning, and the pitcher's up, down, up, down, up, down, they count those pitches. So while we say 80, they're looking at it different because they're thinking about getting him through the entire year. And when you up, down, something can lock up on you. Things can happen in those particular type of situations. My issue was not taking him out because they have data we don't have. My issue was going with Familia. No. That's the mistake. He's terrible. Even with a 4-run lead, don't put him in the game anymore. You can't trust him. You cannot trust him right now. And that was my issue. If you're telling me that because of the circumstances of the game, 80 pitches isn't truly 80 pitches, I have to believe you. But that doesn't mean you go to a guy who stinks, who's killing you. And that's the mistake I think Rob Thompson made.
Yeah, and it screwed up everything going forward because they go to Familia. He can't get out of it, so they have to go to Sir Anthony Dominguez, gives up that home run,
right.
and he's coming in with people, you know what I mean, not in his normal spot,
exactly.
In a new clean inning. Not Brogdon, I guess he warmed up a little bit earlier in the game. I don't know why he didn't go out there.
I agree with you.
Like, I think he's pitched once in the last 3 days before that, and it wasn't, you know, necessarily a tough outing, so mm-hmm. It's just everything was going too right for Rob Thompson. Everything was working. Why did you change what was working for you and
right.
for this baseball team?
And that, to me, was the mistake, but we'll talk about that. And again, we'll have a giveaway with the 10-second song and your top five list, both MLB and Phillies. 610-632-0975. And Jen will have one save at her discretion per hour.
A lot of pressure.
I know. I like it. I love being able to save.
Mike and Sheldon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hello.
You're on the air, Mike.
Tyrone.
How are you?
I have been following you since you were with Angelo way back in the day.
Wow.
I'm a 70-year-old.
Now you're going back literally 22 years.
See, I know.
Yeah, you're going way back. Yeah.
I'm so glad you got this gig because I really enjoy it. I think you're going to do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I have some real problems with both your lists.
Okay, sure.
Number one, Hank Aaron, I saw him a million times. He was better than Willie Mays.
No, he wasn't.
All right, wait a minute. Tell me if Willie Mays had 3,000 hits in his career and 754 home runs, mm-hmm, and had a gun in right field when Clemente and other people in right field had guns. I just thought he was the greatest. He was 5'10". He was amazing. So,
if you think he was better, you're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change yours, so.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, I don't know how many people have 3,000 hits and 554 home runs in their career. That's pretty crazy.
All right.
The second point is your Phillies list.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Roberts was probably one of the greatest Phillies ever. If you look back 1 year, he had 23 complete games.
He's on my list.
Year. I know, but 23 complete games.
What years did he play?
He played back in the 60s when they pitched forever.
Yeah, so I don't know. What do I know?
I know. I'm just saying, if you look back in the record.
He's on the list.
I don't think anybody had 23 complete games.
He's on the top five. Let me give you your 10-second song so you have a chance to win the prize. Go ahead, play Tom number one.
I'm still standing.
That is correct. Nice job there, Mike. First qualifier.
Didn't even need the whole 10 seconds.
Now, what I did was, for the list, I took the ones we didn't get to last week and then added new ones. That's all I did.
Okay.
I took the ones I didn't get to last week, which was not that many. Not as many as I thought when I went to dig in. Yes, there'll be different genres here. Now, here's the thing about the fairness thing that somebody emailed me. Now, I'm not going to say the person's name. But these are the people that get on my nerves. So, this was a Caucasian person who emailed about the song and was upset that they got a song that he deemed a black song. But you know what he doesn't care? When a black person gets a song that he deems a white song. He didn't care about that part.
Probably not, no.
Then what about that part? So you get what you get in life, all right? These were all hit songs. Now, if you didn't like the song, I can't do anything about it. I don't know what kind of music you like. But these were hit songs. So if it's a hit, you had the ability to know what it is because you got to know the hits. Like, and even if you don't like it, like those Black Eyed Peas songs. Most of those songs were terrible. But at one point, they were the biggest band in the world or group or whatever it was.
We've all heard those songs whether we wanted to or not.
Yes, and they did the Super Bowl. So if you don't know the songs, well, that's because you went out of your way to not do the song. They were playing it during the NBA playoffs. They were playing Let's Get It Started. And all that stuff, I was like, oh, God. And then the worst thing is working weddings. And during a time when those songs are popular.
Because that's
you gotta
all you're
play
playing.
That song where they say L'chaim and all that stuff in it. Oh, and people jumping around. And you're just sitting there just dying. Like, just in the worst pain. Like, I felt like I had, like, tuberculosis when I was playing that song. Like, I was, or gout. Like, a lot of scurvy. Like, it really hurt me to have to play those songs. It was upsetting.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 6. 610-632-0975. Phillies trail 1-0 against the Marlins. Yes, so before the break, I asked, this is the new test where a woman is asking a guy, this hypothetical where a woman at work buys a guy a pecan, brings him a pecan pie, and then the question is, what does the guy do with the pie? Jen, what answer would you like to hear your significant other say?
Okay. I don't know if it's the most appropriate answer, but I would want to hear him say, hey, I got this pecan pie at work. I'm bringing it home for you.
Right. See, and that's what a lot of guys have said. They all have gotten in trouble for saying that.
I would not. No, I would gladly accept pecan pie. It's one of my favorites.
Well, you're not asking questions. You're just fine with the pecan pie coming to that. You're not worried about how it got there.
I'm just happy with some pie.
What's happening is these women are saying, well, why would she bake you the pie? The guy's like, well, I'm bringing it home for us to eat. Well, I don't know why. And apparently the only acceptable answer is something along the lines of, well, she likes to bake a lot and she takes like pictures on Instagram. So she had extra. So she gave me one. Because apparently it's a violation for a woman to give a guy who's in a relationship a pecan pie.
Is it just pecan pie? Yes. Cupcakes or cake?
No. This was just an example. It was anything that was
any bake's good.
It couldn't be a cupcake, though, because cupcakes went to everybody. Now, right. If the cupcakes only went to him, that's the point. Everyone else got a slice. He got a whole pie.
Ah.
So now that's somehow a violation. Now, note, this is all hypothetical, so the guy doesn't know why the woman would have gave him the pie. Because he didn't get the pie in real life.
I'd still be okay with getting some pie.
That's my thinking is, well, you want some of this pie?
Yeah, I do.
Got a vanilla ice cream to put on top of that thing.
That's right.
That's where my mind went. So, Tara, you bring home a pecan pie that a female coworker other than Jen bakes. Does your girlfriend have beef with it?
Probably not. I don't think so.
Maybe you should probably text and ask her.
Yeah, I mean, I can if you'd like.
I think you should.
I'm like Jen. I'm more worried about the pecan pie. Like, I'm not really. I'll ask a question and then see what happens then. But, you know, I'm perfectly happy. So I'm bringing home this pie for us. Maybe she made it for both of us. You know, you don't know that.
Because she's giving it to me. In the scenario that they made up, somehow people are reading too much into it.
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's like if, say, someone, you're out at a bar and you're at separate sides with your girlfriend, your wife, whatever it is. Someone buys your girlfriend a drink and she walks away. Are you angry or no? Because she accepted the drink? I mean, you got to be careful nowadays.
She can't be leaving with the dude.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well,
or
not
she's
that.
Changing numbers and stuff.
But that's not, you know, just because you take the pecan pie doesn't mean you're leaving with the girl.
That's what I mean. Like the drink. I mean, he's shooting a shot. I'm glad I'm with someone that someone's shooting a shot with.
Sure. There you go.
Yeah.
It's her job to say no.
I think it's a compliment.
Now, if she doesn't say no, now we got a problem.
That's a whole different story.
Because now she's not your woman. She's the streets woman. And you don't want to be with a woman that's for the streets.
It belongs to the streets.
No. If she belongs to the streets, then you don't have to. You shouldn't be in a relationship with a woman that's for the streets.
And reading too far into it, if I were to make a pecan pie for you and Elizabeth, I would say, I made you and Elizabeth a pecan pie.
Right.
Or Tom, if I made one for you and your girlfriend, I would say, Tom, here is a pecan pie that I made for you and your girlfriend. I wouldn't just say, oh, Tyrone, I made you some pecan pie. I would expect you to then, you know.
So she just texted me, my girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
What would I be mad about? I missed it. So we're going to get an answer shortly.
All right, yeah. So here we go.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
On the line right now, does just a fantastic job in the Hall of Fame, Mr. Jason Stark, brought to you by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks, Everfresh Nature's Refreshment. How are you today, Jason?
Hey, Tyrone, I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
Man, a lot better now because I just couldn't deal with last night, Jason. I know baseball's a long season, and you had the temperament to handle it. but I am not as mature as you. Last night's game, and then a 1-0 loss the day after, it wouldn't have broken me, but I'd have been quite upset. Instead, they get the walk-off, and they win the game, and I feel a lot better about the situation. And I know it's just one baseball game, but it feels like more.
You know, if you try to take every baseball game like it's an NFL Sunday, you'll definitely go insane. So
yes.
Don't do that. Here's the thing I was thinking about. If they just had gone ahead and won last night, but then lost today on getaway day, would that have been easier to handle than losing last night, but then having this happen today?
Kind of. I don't know why, but kind of.
It's all mind games.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, Jason, you are the Hall of Famer, as I already mentioned, and you have more knowledge in this than myself or Tom or Jen. And we've been doing Top 5 Week, and we did the NBA, we did the NFL, and today we're doing Major League Baseball. So before we dig any deeper into the Phillies, I want to ask you about both your Top 5 MLB list and your Top 5 Phillies list. Let's start with the MLB. And again, there's no wrong answers, and everybody's criteria is different. For Jason Stark, if you were doing your top five all-time MLB list, who would be the five that you would choose?
Yeah, this is so impossible, man. You know it is. Babe Ruth, I would start with, because he's freaking Babe Ruth. Then I would go Mays and Aaron, because they're legends, because they could do it all. And also because they had to deal with so much just to play baseball. I don't want to not take that into account. So that's three right now. I have two more from the entire history of the sport, right? I go Ted Williams, because he was a hitting genius. And his numbers would have been even more ridiculous if he hadn't missed all those years fighting two wars. I'm like quasi-obsessed with Ted Williams. I really recommend the Lee Montville biography on him. It's so good. So that's four. And then this is impossible. It's just not possible to limit this to five. So I'm going to go Barry Bonds just because he's the best player that I've ever seen play baseball, Balco or no Balco. And if you want to say, wait, you're not putting any pitchers on the list.
It's hard.
It's because I couldn't do a top five list without any of those five. So the pitchers can file a class action suit. I'm good with that.
No, I absolutely cannot argue with your list. Everybody's list obviously is going to be different criteria. Can't argue with that. You know, my other fascination with Ted Williams, since you brought him up, is also just even when the man passed away, there was still stuff going on. And remember the family fighting over and the Frozen and all that kind of stuff? Like, it's just, eventually, if you were to tell the whole tale from, like, my goodness.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it happened in real life, the Ted Williams story. His cryogenically frozen head is still in that state. Last I heard.
Right. It's part of the reason.
Don't even ask me what's going to happen there.
No, we have no idea. That's part of the reason when we do like our all like heaven team and we have DiMaggio and different players, we're like, we don't know if we can put him there because the family thinks that there'll be a point where they can, their actual plan, I do know this, would be to hypothetically find a different body and Ted would live on if it was up to the family.
Okay, well, I think that plan's out the window now because it was the son who wanted to do that, and I believe he's no longer alive. So I don't know what they're doing with the head, but I doubt he'll be hitting cleanup for the Red Sox anytime soon.
Yes, I completely agree with you. Now the other list as we switch back to the Phillies, long history of not enough winning in the history, but they had a lot of great players. What is your all-time Phillies top five?
Yeah, this is equally impossible. Schmidt and Carlton were obvious, so I'll start with those two. And after that, I really had no idea how to narrow this down to three. I finally decided Robin Roberts has to be on the list. He pitched for the Phillies for 24 seasons, and he was the number one starter for like 20 of them. So I don't know how he could not be on there. But then that only leaves me two position players. What are you doing to me, man? I eliminated anybody who ever played at Baker Bowl because that was like hitting at Williamsport.
Mm-hmm.
And then I almost went just with position players who I covered, because that would have allowed me to go Rollins and Utley. But and I had this voice in my head that said it just wasn't right to leave Richie Ashburn off the list, mm-hmm. just because he was the most beloved Philly on the field and off the field probably I can ever remember. So I'm going to wind up, the three position players will be the guys who rank 1, 2, 3 on their all-time hits list, which would mean Rollins, Schmidt, Ashburn. So it means I have to leave Chase off. I don't like it. He only gave me 5.
Wow. Wow. Now, just, you know, 4 of the 5 are the exact same as I had, which I'm shocked. The only difference was I went with Ryan Howard's prime. I recognize he didn't have the longevity. But for me, when you're talking about just something you saw and I put that in, it was like what I imagine it was like watching Babe Ruth. For those 3 years watching Ryan Howard, I recognize that many people will not have him on the list, and for decent reasons. It's just that prime to me, just I remember what it was like, and it was to me almost like you had to watch every single at bat. It was an appointment viewing, and I've never been locally around another player like that in my lifetime.
Yeah, if you're just going to go with a peak, he had 4 years averaging, I believe it was 50 homers and 130 RBIs, and the only two players who have ever done that over any 4-year period besides him were Sammy Sosa, for reasons we don't need to get into, and Babe Ruth. So there's definitely a Babe Ruth narrative in there. I don't know. Can we stop using the word impossible? Because that's what it is.
Yes, absolutely right. We're talking to the Hall of Famer Jason Stark on the Comcast Business Hotline. Now, switching back to this team, Jason, last night, you always do this when crazy things happen. I'm watching a White Sox game, and here's a Jason Stark tweet like, this hasn't happened, you get it quick, 1927, or something like that. But last night, you talked about the two main culprits in Familia and Knebel, and them in the high leverage spots. And the stat you had was just incredible. I don't know if you have it right in front of you, but for the people that didn't hear it, just how poor have those guys been this season in those spots?
Yeah, you know, and that's what it's all about for those guys. That's what you need your best relief pitchers to do, is to be great in those moments. And they've just been the opposite of that. Okay, here's Corey Knebel in high leverage situations. The .289 average is grim, but then you get to the .450 on base and .917 OPS. So that he's got 13 walks and 7 strikeouts when the game is on the line, Tyrone. That's just not going to cut it for any team's closer. And I mean, we can talk about him in more detail if you want, but that guy in this state cannot close for a contending team. And then there's Yuris Familia. I forecast the first time we talked about him in spring training that he'd be kind of the Hector Neris figure on this team. Scouts always refer to him as Armando Benitez Jr. because he's great in theory. His stuff looks good. He's got that sinker, right? So you'd think the ball's going to stay in the yard. No, it doesn't. In high leverage situations, the opposing hitters are hitting .345 against him. They've got a .424 on base, and they're slugging now almost .700. So the OPS against him in the biggest situations in the game is over .1100. He's not pitchable. He's not. I don't know what they do about it, but he is not pitchable.
Yeah, I said that earlier in the show. I said based on merit, not just what his contract was or anything like that. You just can't put him out there right now until something drastic changes. The last thing I want to ask you about.
All right, let me just say, I could have seen the Familia thing coming, but Corey Knebel started out in spring training. Well, first of all, I saw him with the Dodgers in the postseason last year, and he was great. Unhittable. And I saw him in his prime in Milwaukee. He was great. But like that last season in Milwaukee, 88 strikeouts, 22 walks. He's got 16 walks already now. And so month to month, starting in spring training, he went from aggressive, challenging in the strike zone to nibble, 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 nibble. No confidence in any pitch. Can't throw a strike, won't throw a strike in any pitch. I mean, I think it's something physical. I ask teams that have faced him, they think it's in his head. Whatever it is, he can't close for a team trying to win.
No, and it's just it's disappointing. We'll see what the committee ends up being. Will it end up being one person, or will it stay a committee? I know today they're saying committee. The last thing I want to ask you about is the player that we've gotten the most calls about, the most social media traffic about, and that's JT Realmuto. And it's not just about the drop ball late in the game, the drop pop-up, and then the next pitch, the guy ends up hitting a double. Not even that. It's more just plate. The power seems to be gone. He's not crouching, and there's been the local guys have pointed out two or three different times where runs have scored because he couldn't block the ball and also not hitting for power. Meanwhile, highest-paid catcher in baseball. You, again, handle this a lot more mature than the average fan, or I can. What is up with JT Realmuto, and is that contract a concern for them going forward?
Well, the contract is $23.1 million a year. It's actually a little more than that because of the way it was structured going forward. And there'll be three more years left after this year. And those are his age 32, 33, 34 seasons, which I guess at the time didn't seem crazy for a guy who was so athletic. But this year's been a big concern. I'll tell you what I see. I'll tell you what other teams see. What I see is he's playing way too much. He's on pace to play 144 games this year and catch about 140. And why? I mean, Stubbs hit the walk-off today. He's hitting 342. He's got an 1,100 OPS. It's fine to play that guy. And JT would be better catching 5 days a week than 6 days a week or 7 days a week when Joe Girardi was the manager. And I didn't understand that because Joe was quietly unhappy with the idea that he couldn't get JT to actually catch out of a crouch with men on base. So there was some tension over that, and yet he kept running him out there every day. The second thing is, and this is again from other teams, because he's been such a mess offensively, he keeps changing stances. He never looks comfortable. He hasn't driven the ball at all. And this seems to them to be the first time they've ever seen his offense start to leak into his defense. And, catchers have a big load mentally to deal with. You got to focus every pitch for 3-4 hours. And is that why he misses a routine pop-up last night? You can definitely connect those dots if you want to. All I know is they've got to figure it out, and I think they've got to back off workload because nobody has his workload, and the way he's played would suggest he needs less, not more.
You know, that's something that a lot of people haven't brought up. I'm glad you brought that up, and I guess this is also, as far as him catching so many games, another of the unintended consequences of Harper having to DH every single day when the plan was to use him and a lot of different guys in that spot from time to time to get rest. That's obviously now off the table.
True, although, I mean, the way JT's hitting, you wouldn't be DHing him a whole lot, but that really was the plan. And they can't do that now with anybody, and you can look around the field, you can see plenty of candidates who would benefit from spending some time at DH besides the guy who's doing it every day.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jason, thank you for putting together those lists. Thank you so much, and thank you for the time and the insight as usual. Just fantastic each and every time.
Always a pleasure, Tyrone. Thanks, my friend.
All right, thank you. That was Jason Stark, brought to you by Everfresh Juices.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.